So pick your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Very short. Something I will show you. Can we stand up? It's for a text. Just one statement. The first sentence in that verse. The first sentence in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 51. Yes. Everybody, are you there? Are you there? Very loud. Shall we go? Behold, I show you a mystery. Sit down. Behold, I show you a mystery. You know what the mystery is? Listen. Hallelujah. I want to just very briefly give you a picture. I'll give you scriptures you have to read on your own. But all I'm interested is to just give you a picture. I am not an intellectual. I'm not a theologist or theologian or anything. I am a preacher of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation. And whatever God lets us see in the scripture is that which pertaineth to our salvation. And let me tell you, the bride of Jesus Christ, by the time we will see Christ, there will be no confusion in any aspect of the mystery of redemption. We will not be confused. For instance, the bride of Jesus Christ will not go to heaven and be looking for Trinity. They will not be looking for Trinity. And the bride of Jesus Christ is so grounded in the mystery of redemption, is so grounded in the word of God that revealed the perfect will of God to us. We are so grounded that we cannot even be confused by our own dream. Because we are not led by our dream. And that is the reason why no prophet, William Branham said, not even a major prophet can deceive the bride of Jesus Christ. The reason is because we are grounded in the revelation of the mystery of redemption. I used to tell you that what we celebrate in this church is not a miracle. There's no gift here of prophecy, deliverance, miracle, whatever, that you don't see 10 times out there in the denomination. Therefore, our pride is not in the anointing. Our pride is in the revelation of God's plan for redemption, that He revealed it only to His bride. And if there's anybody that your interest in this church is miracle, signs and wonder, I am telling you, you have wasted your time coming here. Come to me, I will give you an address of where you will go, and you'll get what you are looking for. But if you want to know God and His divine plan, you are in the right place. Let me show you a mystery. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read Hebrew chapter 11. And then we'll read it from verse 8. 8, 9, 10. Listen, because I say it's a mystery. If it's a mystery, it means there's a truth there that is encoded, that is about to be decoded. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, revelation, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. See where I am going? For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13. Are we there? Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and we are persuaded of them, and embraced those promises, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And I want to take a little teaching to make you understand that the title, The City That Abraham Saw. The city that Abraham saw. Remember, verse 10 says, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Which city did he see? It is the same city that John saw in Revelation chapter 21. Let's go there. Revelation chapter 21. Let's get the whole picture. Hallelujah. And I saw, I'm reading from verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I want to read everything so that I can make reference, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are past away. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city. He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high. You are seeing the description of that city. And had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, on those gates, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 140 and 4 cubits. according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Remember, there are 12 foundations. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, a chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, a topaz. The tenth, a chrysophrasus. The 11th, a jacinth. And the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord Almighty and the Lamb at the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever walketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the street of life, the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And the church will say, the same city that Abraham saw, the city Abraham saw, is the same city that John saw. Praise the Lord. Why this exhortation is important is because of the misrepresentation of this city by our theologians, intellectuals. Listen very well. This city that Abraham saw, that was revealed also to John, is not a literal city. It's spiritual. Hallelujah. All these people who saw Revelation, and I pray one of them will hear this message from around the world, and they even write books. Every opportunity, people want to make money from Revelation they catch. They are writing books. I saw heaven. And they went. And they were walking. And the Lord Jesus appeared. And then he was having a crown. And then it was, Jesus is not wearing any crown now. Do you understand me? Jesus is not wearing crown now. Jesus is in the mercy seat. Jesus Jesus, according to the divine agenda, he is there in the mercy seat. He's occupying the position of our high priest. A priest doesn't wear a crown. It is a king that wears a crown. He will only wear a crown when you'll be coming to rule this earth as a king of kings. But God can show you the glory of Jesus in advance prophetically. But that they took you to heaven and you saw Jesus. And he was saying that, and you saw Trinity, you saw the Holy Ghost sitting down. That is where, when I reach that one, I go throw away the book. God knows, say, you don't see anything. Some of them are just very good writers, that's all. People who write books. Then they want, which one I go write? Now we go sell well. Oh. Then they begin to write in line with what people believe. Like people who write books on dream. I don't buy any book on dream. Interpretation of dream. There's nothing like that. Nothing. You can't make a doctrine from God may use a symbol to reveal something to me, and that same symbol may mean another thing to another person. Listen. This city that people said they went and they saw the street gold. Everywhere gold. And they saw the precious and they saw many mansions. Plenty mansion, and Jesus took him or her, because both men and women have been saying those testimony, and then he saw her own mansion, and saw his own building, fine, beautiful, this and that. They say, listen, church, nothing like that. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you notice Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, what did it say? Hallelujah. What did it say? Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee who? The bride. Who is the bride? The Lamb's wife. What did he show him? In verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Who is that city? Is the bride. The Lamb's wife. It's not a literal city. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not a literal city. It's a spiritual city. Now, we have to take a look at why Jerusalem is so important to God. Just as Israel is also so important to God. Because remember, this new city, it's called Heavenly Jerusalem, a city of God. It is called the New Jerusalem. If there's a New Jerusalem, then there is the Old Jerusalem. The Old Jerusalem, there's something about the Old Jerusalem that speaks of the New Jerusalem. Because the Old Jerusalem is a shadow of the Heavenly Jerusalem. Now, if you note these scriptures, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 6. In Nehemiah also, take time and read it. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 9. God expressly speaks here that Jerusalem is the only place that he, God, has chosen to place his name. And in Deuteronomy chapter 16, we're reading from verse 2 up to verse 6. He, God, will only accept your sacrifices and your offerings only in a place where he, God, has chosen to place his name there. And of all the nations of the earth, it is Jerusalem that God chose to place his name there. And in Psalm 132, verse 13 and verse 14, he said, the Lord has chosen Zion. Zion there is Jerusalem. The Lord has chosen Zion for his own habitation. That is why he has chosen to dwell. He has chosen to dwell in Jerusalem. He chose it. Therefore, Jerusalem was a place where God revealed his presence and made himself known to Israel. It was in Jerusalem. If you read Psalm 50 verse 2, and we read Psalm 48 also verse 1 and verse 2, he tried to describe the beauty of Jerusalem. He described her as the perfection of beauty. Calling beautiful for all situation, the joy of the whole world is Mount Zion, the side of the Lord, the city of the great King. The perfection of beauty, as describing Jerusalem. God told Abraham to leave his people, and he would take him to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Take note of something here, church. That land was the land of Canaan. I believe with the whole of my heart. Hallelujah. Listen, oh, I believe that God didn't just choose Jerusalem. The whole process of redemption, listen very well. The whole process of redemption is God, his attempt to return man back to the Garden of Eden. Am I correct? There was a garden that God built east of Eden. And Eden, from it flow some rivers. Tigris and what? And Euphrates. Listen, church. But after that, listen. This earth has been judged. After man fell, in the process of time, there was Noah's flood that came. Before Noah's flood, there were no seas. There were no rivers separating here and separating there. Like that. Ocean. It was God rearranging the earth that pushed the water, some back up and some into seas and the rest. But as you read further, you will discover that in the regeneration, in the eternal age, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. John saw it in chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more seas. If you saw a new heaven, when he says he saw a new heaven here, it's not a new dwelling place of God. Heaven is talking about the atmosphere around us. It was rearranged. The earth also was rearranged. But as it is now, it is still a fallout of the confusion of that arose from the judgment that God judged this earth during the flood. We refer to the period we call Noah's flood. Therefore, when you want to locate where is the Eden, the exact geographical position where Eden was, or Eden is, or Eden was. Now, it would be wrong for you to just go to Iraq, because that's where River Euphrates is still there. There has been a lot of shaking. So how do we locate it? If we speak, amen. What is conversion? Conversion does not, amen. Listen, to be converted, I once was lost, I once was, you know, everything that is done that brings about conversion is still in this same person here. It's not scattered into pieces. It is a rearrangement of the same person. I therefore believe, church, that the reason why God and Satan seem to be interested in the city of Jerusalem, I believe that is where Eden was before. Now, you may argue with me, oh, but you have to tell me, why of all places is Jerusalem that the temple is built? Why of all places, that particular place, that desert land, why that particular place? Why will Satan come to that same spot and also build a mosque on that same spot? There must be something about that spot. It's not just about covenant. So, you look at it and think very well, and study very well. You discover that God will come down in the cool of the evening and have fellowship with his children. That's where he revealed himself to them. That's where he had fellowship. That is where God met with man that he created. And it is in that same Jerusalem that God came down again to redeem Adam, who was lost. He was separated from his maker. And God came to get him back on a particular spot. That's why he chose to reveal his presence and made himself known to Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The land of Canaan, therefore, was the location, I believe, of the Garden of Eden. The beginning of man and God relationship on earth. That is where the relationship was scattered. And it is that same spot he will come and rescue back that relationship. I believe so. And the divine agenda for the restoration of the Garden of Eden started with the call of Abraham. So the call of Abraham marks the beginning of the revelation of the heavenly holy city. And it is revealed to only his chosen people. Because the city is only for his chosen people. And Israel was his chosen people for the natural Jerusalem, natural Israel. Covenant with David. David was sitting on a throne. But he was there temporarily because he to whom the throne belonged was coming. And he will sit in that throne in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. They look for a city. Abraham saw a revelation of that city. And he knew by the description, symbolic description that he saw, that city certainly cannot be made by man. He looked all around him. That city was not there. They could not see it. All of them that had that revelation, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, they could not see it. They could not enter that city. No matter how they look forward to entering, they could not enter that city. Because that city was a spiritual city, and the building of that temple was going to take some time. The building of that temple was supposed to take some time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul had this same revelation we are speaking of now. In verse 26 of Galatians chapter 4, he spoke about the Jerusalem which is above, is free. He's comparing that this Jerusalem that is here, the physical Jerusalem is into bondage with her children. As at the time he was given this revelation, they were under Roman captivity, Roman Empire. They were under the rulership of Gentiles. It was still under the times of the Gentiles. But there is a Jerusalem which is above, and it is free. And it is the mother of us all. That is how Apostle Paul described it in verse 26 of Galatians chapter 4. And note the language of revelation that makes this mystery clearer and clearer. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, this is the way the angel revealed this to John. He said, "He that overcometh," among other things, he said, "I will make a pillar in the temple." Pillar there is talking of already building material now. A pillar in the temple. He said, "I will write upon him the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God." People get confused with John chapter 14, from verse 1, where he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I will tell you." And so they carry that understanding and enter dream, and they are seeing mansions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But see the way Apostle Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 2. Then the picture will get clearer from verse 19 to verse 22. Let's read that. Ephesians chapter 2. He said, "Now therefore, all of us, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens." When you talk of citizen, you are talking of you are talking of nationality. "You are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." 20. "And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Now see, this language is the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for what? For an habitation of God through the Spirit. Always note, the Bible says God does not dwell in houses built by hand, because it's a spirit. A spirit does not need an air-conditioned house. A spirit does not need a water bed to sleep on top. A place painted with gold, sapphire, amethyst, and all the precious stones means nothing to a spirit. Hallelujah. Neither does a spirit need a limousine to drive a car. He does not need a car. He doesn't move by driving a car. He doesn't need it. But there is a house that God is building for his own habitation. Let's take another reading. 1 Peter chapter 2. From verse 3. Let's take it. Let's read it so that you will catch the picture of this city that Abraham saw. Let's read up to verse 11. "If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men." It's a stone. You don't mention stone until there is a building construction. "But choosing of God and precious." You also. He is a stone. Or you also, the believers, as lively stones. We are also lively stones. Are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer our spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, it is contained in the scripture, behold, concerning Christ, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of stumbling, and the rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are a nation. A peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Finally, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from lustly and fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. My emphasis here is the terminologies used in describing Christ and describing his bride, the believers. We are described as building materials to be put together. Hallelujah. And the foundation of that city where God will come to dwell and rule in this earth, in the eternal age. It's in the eternal age. Isaiah 28 tells us that Christ is a sure foundation and it's a cornerstone. That's Isaiah 28. And where we have read now in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to 8 tells us that he's a stone that people will stumble at. A stone of stumbling. Did the Jews not stumble at him? They didn't know who he was. Hallelujah. And so in Matthew 21, from verse 42 to 44, he stressed it, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And the foundation, hallelujah, the work for that foundation, the foundation we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. They are the foundation of this holy city. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I put something down here. Therefore, the foundation of the city was built by the apostles and prophets, and the building which is built upon this foundation is by lively stones. But these lively stones are prepared by the Father. They are prepared by the Father and Christ, the cornerstone. The stones, hallelujah, listen. These lively stones, you will understand this from the Temple of Solomon. The Temple of Solomon was built by materials that we are prepared by the father of Solomon, correct? The stones, listen, that is, I want to emphasize something here. The stone, because before you qualify to be that stone, I want you to see the description. The stone, they are lively stones, they are not dead stones. They are lively stones. Secondly, they are prepared by the Father. And those stones were predestinated. Solomon did not say, I want to build a house now. Before he even thought of it, the materials were already ready. There is the Lamb's Book of Life. So that when you see in John chapter 6, all the Father has given me, they will come to me, and I will lose none of them. Hallelujah. Listen. There is a way many of us ministers, we go do ministry work as if we are doing our personal businesses. We are already called. Anybody that comes into the ministry, before God will use you in the ministry, He has already prepared you. There is a nature in you, so that when you come, you just fit in there. They went through and they listened to the preparation process. That is where many of us have problems with our Christian faith. The preparation, it was in the preparation process that noise and noise of Jesus were heard. That is when the shaping took place. The master architect, the master planner, before any builder comes to build, before this building was put together, there was an architectural drawing. And it's not the architect. The architect that built it is different from the engineer that will come and build it. And he's supposed to build it according to the pattern of things in heaven. That is what God told Moses. The pattern of the ark he was to build, anything he was to build, the picture was given to him by the great architect. The architect that drew this place, therefore, he is watching to make sure you build according to the pattern. Then we have the Lagos State Building Control that will be visiting, they have been visiting here to make sure we are building according to the approved architectural drawing. And if you don't build according to the architectural building, and you patch materials, and you, there is even the raw material, what do you call it, material testing. Before we cast this gallery, it is a law. We will tell them, they will come and look at the materials. They have machine to test it. Then when you see it, they approve, they say, go ahead. If not, the building will collapse. That's why ministries collapse. That's why ministries, ministers struggle. If this church will only be on fire, only because I am doing trifasting as a pastor every day, something is wrong with my calling. You don't know why. Moses could not start his ministry until he was properly shaped. It took him 40 years for God to finish preparing him. But he knew that he had a calling. We have a call, but wait for the appointed time. God will push you through school. One of the schools that he pushed you through is those denominations that you were going from church to church. If you are going to be a teacher of this Bible, God will not bring you from beer parlor and beg you to become a preacher. Lie. You must go through Catholic Church and see idolatry. You will finish from there, and then you will go to mommy and daddy church. Then you will go to where they sell and buy anointing. Then you will show you all the nyama nyama that is going on. Then he will equip you with anger, because before he can use you to deliver his people, hallelujah, the Midianites were attacking the Israelites. They were disturbing them. Of all the land, there was a Gideon. Hallelujah. There was a Gideon. that was unhappy with the state of things. And you have people who will come and tell them, don't worry, our God, when we left Egypt, we know how our God destroyed, Pharaoh, and they punished them, and they see how manna fell from heaven. We know how the Philistines, how then all this testimony, if it is true, then why are we under bondage? That's it. Hallelujah. And the angel came to him. Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. He said, the Lord is with you. Hey! Stop that. If the Lord is with us, then why are we under this bondage? Stop that. The angel smiled and looked at him. Gideon. He said, go in this thy might. He didn't say, are you ready? Let me empower you. Hey! He didn't say so. There was something already in him. Hallelujah. When he's given a commission now to lead the people, oh, glory be to God. When he will kill without mercy. He will mention name. He will call their names. He will call their address. He will mention, he will go with all anger. Because he knows, hallelujah, God has brought him to an estate where he can deliver his people. Prepare you. Lively stones prepared. See, if you are a pastor, I think during the vigil, I answered a question. Somebody from somewhere called, I think whether from Calabar or somewhere, where she says that she stood up to ask her pastor a question, and the pastor was rebuking her for asking question. Because to him, it was challenging. His authority. That man is not yet prepared for that ministry. Any church that the pastor uses fear to rule. You know why he uses fear? He uses fear, because he has a deficiency. Anybody where you see has spirit of anger. Eh? The reason why he has spirit of anger is that there is a deficiency he has. Using that anger to stop you from exposing him or exposing her. A pastor must be patient. A pastor, the members must have access to him. You must feel free to challenge me. If you notice I'm doing anything wrong, and it is my responsibility to explain to you why I am doing what I am doing. And if what I'm doing, even if it's within the frame of freedom I have, and you are getting stumbled, even as a Christian, I should stop it. Now, if I know my humor is going to offend you, it's a Christian spirit to check it so that you're not stumbled. That is the price I'll pay. But if I was not pastor, I would tell you, say, Abeg, carry your own, go. Anytime you see me, they talk, I'm come out your ear from me. I may say that as a member, but I can't say that as a pastor. Anything you see me doing, and you don't like it, challenge me. But don't insult me. Many of them just insult me. And when I want to call them back, they will not pick my call. And I will send text to them and bless them. Because I know, you don't know what you are doing. You're trying to distract me. You're trying to, in me there is no anger. So there is no, I can't be angry. I don't have anger in me. No matter how you provoke me. Hallelujah. Lively stones. We're not dead stones. Predestinated by the Father. Chosen from all over the world. And the Bible says, in the 7 years that the temple of Solomon was being built, there was no noise of chisel or hammer. When they built for every position, the stone for that position is already prepared. You are only to look for it. Once you see it, you just come and it will just enter
boom.
The next one, it will just enter, boom. It's not about Solomon's temple. It is about a city that will be built. A spiritual city that was coming ahead. And it took 7 years for that temple of Solomon to be built. Talking of 7 church ages that these materials will be put together, a house for, you know, the living God to dwell in. Blessed be the name of the Lord.